Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Now let's read it together, please. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. And thank you that we do, as Pastor even mentioned this morning, in praying to you for the health to be here today. God bless us for being here today. Bless those that are listening through the internet. Help us to hear what you want from us individually today. God, speak to our hearts. Help us. Now we need your Holy Spirit power to work in our lives for that to be accomplished. And Father, for the blessing to come, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. Empower him. Use him to help us today. Father, if there's someone in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray they would trust him today for the gift of eternal life. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, we need you to check your cell phone and make sure it is turned off or to vibrate, unbeknownst to you and around you this morning. We have secret agents whose job it is will be to assassinate you if you do not, if your cell phone goes off in the service. You don't know where they are and you don't know what happened. It'll just hit you real suddenly. So help us, would you? Make sure they're turned off or to vibrate. We would appreciate that very much. They get one warning. It's okay while you're turning it off. I know when you turn it off, it always plays La Cucaracha or something. And I know that happens. So that's safe. You're all right. You will not be shot. Anything after this and you will be. But up to that point, you're fine. And we don't want to get blood on the people next to you. So please just help us there. Skepticism. It's hard to not be skeptical today. Won't you agree? I mean, listen now. And I'm not going to give you all the reasons why I'm skeptical, because then I may give you something you haven't thought of yet, and then that'll add to your list, and that's not, there's no point in that. But skepticism. You know, like the man that was joined the military and he was going to become a paratrooper and jump out of airplanes, and they taught him, when you jump out of the plane, you pull the main handle and the chute will open. And then you'll float down and a red truck will pick you up and take you back to the base. But if when you jump out and you pull the main chute handle and it doesn't open, you hit the emergency chute and it will open, and then a red truck will pick you up down and take you back to the base down at the ground. His first jump, he jumps out, pulls the main handle. Nothing happens. He grabs the emergency handle. Nothing happens. And they heard him say as he was going down, "Yeah, and I bet you ain't no red truck down there to pick me up either." Skepticism. One of the men of our church has a bumper sticker on his truck. It says, "Trust everybody, but brand all your calves." Hebrews 10:35 is the cure for skepticism. Now, I want you to look how the wording of it is in the Bible. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. The word confidence means assurance of things, certainty. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, your assurance. We sing the song, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." But when the Bible says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." In other words, if you'll be careful to not throw away what you should be assured in today, not throw it down. That's what it means, cast away. Not throw it down, not throw it off, not leave it aside. But that's your decision, you know. To cast something away or cast it off is an act you do and I do. It's not taken from us. We give it away. So he's trying to tell us here, here's for all you skeptics, and I don't know how we cannot be skeptical about certain things. I don't know how we cannot be in our thinking, have this, get a negative attitude about life and everything. What's the point and all this? And then you get, and especially if you get involved in politics, which you're wasting your time, you get involved in that and you listen to what these people say and you think, you know, what in the world is the hope for the world anyhow? Or America or California or wherever it is we live. And then we look at the economy and the situation and we think, you know, gas prices go down, then they go up, and then they go up, and then they go up. And then it's this, and then it's that, and then there's more month left at the end of the money, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And after a while, you come up against enough things in your life, and you cast away your confidence. You cast away things you should be assured of. So I bet, Pastor, you're going to tell us what we should be assured in this morning. You're absolutely right. But let's get this straight. Hold your place right here. I want you to go to Psalm 142. You know, there's a reason some people are skeptical, and it's the wrong reason. Psalm 142. We're going to come back to Hebrews 10 and look at that passage. So hold your place there. But go to Psalm 142 this morning. See, sometimes in life we are disappointed in life and disappointed with people in life and things in life because we put our confidence in the wrong thing or the wrong person. Here's an example. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at Psalm 142. This psalm was written by David, a man that Bible says was after God's own heart. He is in a cave. He is hiding here in this cave from King Saul, who's after him to kill him. And while in this cave of discouragement, here's what David says, Psalm 142, verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him, Psalm 142, verse 2. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. Verse 4, here's his reason for his disillusionment and discouragement, his skepticism. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Verse 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. See, well, he got it right in verse 5, yes, but he made the wrong journey in verse 4. Look at verse 4. When it says, David said, I looked on my right hand. In the Bible, that's an expression of looking to strength, personal strength. David said, I looked on the strength of my ability, and he said it wasn't there for me. This is a giant killer now. Saul has slain his thousands. David is tens of thousands of the Philistines. This man was a general, soldier, a leader. He had all these things in his life. And he said, I looked on my right hand and refuge failed me there. Because David had confidence in himself. He thought, I can fix this. I can pull myself up by my bootstraps. I can take care of this. And he said, I found out that I can't because I'm sitting in a cave. Then he said, he looked on my right hand and he said, and no man cared for my soul. But David wasn't in the cave alone, you know. He had a group of men that were with him everywhere he went. But it seemed like those guys couldn't even help David at this point. Of course, that's because he put his confidence in man. I'm not trying to make it sound like you can't trust anybody, because please don't get that way in your life. And please don't do this. Look at me. Please don't blame the entire human race because of what we would call a couple of knuckleheads, all right? Because somebody has burned you or a few people have done so, please don't dismiss the entire human race. All people are not bad. But even the best of people in your life, there'll be times where they'll fail you, won't they? You see why he's at this place in his life? Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Look at this poor man here. He says, "And what I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." Then he goes to God and said, "But I cried unto the Lord, and thou art my refuge." Why do people, listen to me. You know why we're skeptical today? Because we have cast our confidence in the wrong places and the wrong people. You trust the wrong people, they'll let you down. And then we keep getting burned, and then we keep going back and say, well, I'm going to try this. And people waste their lives experimenting. Oh, the worst thing you can do is lean not to your own understanding. The worst thing you can do is lean to your own understanding. I'm going to figure this thing out. I'm going to fix this. I know exactly what I should do. And I know what that didn't work out, but here's what I am going to do. And you're just going to go from one mistake to the other because you're looking to your right hand instead of looking up to the God of heaven, who is the one in whom you should have your confidence. And it's okay that you have good people around you that help you and that encourage you. But when they become your strength, okay, here it is. So if something happens to you and you need help, who's the first person you think of to go to and to talk to? The best person on this planet one day won't be there for you. And people do have a propensity for failure in their lives, don't they? And then we become skeptical. We get all shriveled up in our soul and the whole world's wrong and everything's messed up and there ain't no red truck down there to pick us up. But if you look at Hebrews 10:35, he's also telling us here, cast not away therefore your confidence, what you should be assured in. Now here's what happens. We get into our lives and the situations of our lives are changeable. Agreed? Did a funeral for a 47-year-old man on Friday. Unhitched his load on a logging truck and a log swung out from there and crushed him to death. And took his life just like that. He went to work like every day was going to be the same day like any other day. And he wound up in heaven. Life is a changeable thing. Now we can either become skeptical because life has treated us wrong or people have or situations didn't turn out the way we wanted them, or we can realize what we've done. We've either misplaced our confidence, our assurance. We put it in the wrong people in the wrong places, or in some cases our skepticism comes from the fact we've cast away our assurance of things that we should be confident in. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'll give you the things you ought to have. You ought never cast away your confidence in this morning. Your assurance. I'll tell you what they are. It'll be no surprise to anybody in this room that's been a person of faith for very long. But that's not the issue. The issue is this. When life comes against you and you come against life, what do you throw away in your life? What have you cast away your confidence in the real important things of life? The things that should never change, that we should never take and put our hope in something else? Like, for instance, you should not cast away your confidence in God's will. Do you understand that God's will is very simply His plan for your life? And God has a plan for every person's life. Now that's 7.2 billion people on this planet. That's huge. If you even think of the concept of designing a plan for 7.2 billion people. And by the way, the will of God is not just designed for this life, it's for eternity. What God has designed for you forever. For them, and that means everyone who's ever lived. He has a plan for them. God's will. Yeah, but Pastor Johnson, there have been some things that have happened while I'm trying to do God's will. I didn't think it was right. I was wronged. People failed me. Somebody let me down. People disappointed me in life. And while I was going to church and reading my Bible and I'm doing the things I'm supposed to do, then I lost a job. I got set back in my life. I had a relationship blow up. I don't understand it. How could it be God's will? It's not God's will that sin takes place in our lives. I assure you of that this morning. But I can assure you of this. The will of God was also designed with the understanding there would be failures in your life and some of those things would be His plan. Sometimes it is God's plan that we get sick. You know that? God's will. Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, had a thorn in the flesh, a literal physical problem in his life. Paul was used of God to see people healed miraculously, but he couldn't heal himself. And God gave him grace instead of healing because it was God's will. You mean loss is a part of God's will? Yes, it is. These knuckleheads who go around our country telling everybody the formula of God's success is prosper, 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 prosper. Get everything you want, get everything you want. You know, the blab it and grab it, say it and pay it, boys. All you have to do is just say the prayer of Jabez and you'll get everything you ever wanted. Come on now, folks, please. Tell me, we're so shallow in our biblical understanding that we don't see Job. I don't see Job prospering in a garbage dump, picking his sores with 10 fresh graves over here within his eyesight and a wife that tells him to cuss God and die and friends who turn against him. I don't see Job prospering Not in his suffering and sorrow, but that was just as much God's will as the time when Job was the richest man in the East and was prosperous in his life. Still God's will. Hey, look at me. Have you cast away your confidence in God's will for your life? Well, I started to do what the Bible says, but now I'm going to do it my own way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, the biggest issue in knowing the will of God and doing the will of God is get out of the way and let God's plan work in your life. Follow the word of God and let God work his will and way for you. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence in the will of God. Some of us, we are so consumed with controlling everything about our lives, we fear that God's plan won't line up with our wants and wishes. And I got news for you. It may not. Hot August night of 1975, God took away my will from my life and gave me a whole new plan. My intention once I got out of the service was to be an air traffic controller. I love that job. I enjoy the pressure and everything about it. That hot August night of 1975, when I got right with God in my life, God took that plan away and gave me a completely different plan. But now, after 37 years, I say to you this morning, I take the will of God. I don't regret anything. I have no reservation of anything. I could have retired by now. The age of 58, I would have retired a couple of years ago, as a matter of fact. Full benefits, retirement. All of it. So don't you wish you had that? Yes. So don't you plan on retiring when you're a pastor? No. I may not pastor all my life, but I plan on preaching the Word of God until I drop dead. I want to preach the Bible until I die. I want to be in the pulpit and go, and drop over dead. That's what I want to do. And I want you to see it. Because then you know what some of you look like after all these years of me looking at you. No, never mind. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. Doing the Billy the Bobber and Danny the Diver and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I want to watch you go, fall over. Yeah, that's the preacher. Yeah, you reap what you sow. But anyway, the point is, I'm sorry, forgive me. The point is, I was thinking about it again this morning. What would my life have been had God not called me to be a pastor and gone into the ministry? I don't know. And frankly, I don't care. Hey, look at me. You're looking at one happy man in the will of God for his life today. And not because I'm in the ministry, but because I'm in the will of God for my life. Well, you don't understand how it is for the rest of us. Yeah, I know. I live in a bubble and no problems ever come my way. And I don't have any heartaches or burdens or sorrows. I don't have any of that in my life. Yes, I do, just like you do. But God's will is right. And I'm not cast away my confidence in God's plan for my life. And life didn't change that because God designed his will for my life before I drew a breath and knew what I would face. And you too. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence because it's God's will, people. God's will. The God who put the sun up this morning and put it to bed tonight and cast the stars out into their courses. The God who made the rivers flow the direction that they go and made everything that you see and spoke it into existence from nothing. God, ladies and gentlemen, the Almighty God of heaven, he designed a plan for you. He doesn't make a mistake. He's too wise to make a mistake, too loving to be unkind. God's will. I mean, you've never questioned the will of God? Of course I have. Times when I've scratched my head and wondered, what in the world, Lord, is this all about? How could this be beneficial to anybody or anything? But I settle every question with my God, and when I kneel before him, as the choir sang this morning, you bow the knee, and I accept it as the will of God. And I don't accept it grudgingly. I'm not upset with God. I'm not mad at God. I'm bitterness toward God about anything. I'm not angry with him about a thing in my life. There are things I still don't understand God has allowed in my life, but I'll tell you here this morning, I accept the will of God, and I accept it gladly in my life. I've not cast away my confidence in God's will. I've also not cast away my confidence in God's word. See, God's word is how you find God's will for your life. We got people out here today trying to find the will of God, but they won't do what the Bible says. You're wasting your time. He did not write this down for us so we could figure it out on our own without and ignore what the Bible tells us. It doesn't work. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2, that is a principle from the Bible that tells me if I'm a yielded person and obedient to God in my life and I yield myself to Him completely, He will reveal to me what is His perfect, acceptable, and the good will of God for my life. And you'll find out it is perfect, it is acceptable, and it's good. You know what good is, don't you? Good is homemade hamburgers. That's what good is. Not them nasty In-N-Out hamburgers. You people wasting your time in In-N-Out. You got to go in there and get a triple just to get meat on one of them suckers. Seriously, you pick up the lettuce and there's a little something under there. That's the hamburger. Five Guys is pretty close, but frankly, you take 3/4 pound of good ground hamburger meat and you press it into a patty and put it between two plates with some wax paper, squeeze it down. It's kind of thin, not bad. About that big around. You grill that on a hamburger, you grill that on a barbecue. Now don't cook it to death. We're not Old Testament, no burnt offerings. You don't want it raw now because you don't want E. coli, but don't cook it to death. You take a slab of cheese and you put it on there right before you eat it, big enough cheese so it'll kind of nurdle out through the top of that thing. While the wife's in there getting the tomatoes and the red onions and the lettuce and pickles. I like sweet pickles myself personally on a hamburger. And you take those hamburger buns, those big hamburger buns, not the little squirrely jaws, big hamburger buns. You grill them, just make them warm so they're a little crunchy on one side. And then you take that hamburger and you lay that on there and you put some mayonnaise and some ketchup and some mustard and sweet pickle relish. And then you put the big old slab of red ripe juicy tomato on top of there with a big slab of red sweet onion and some lettuce. And you close on top of that thing with that other hamburger bun and you pick it up. It should be about like that. And then you put your elbows on the table because that's the only way to eat this kind of hamburger. You do like this, you could hurt yourself. You might pull a muscle. You put your elbows on the table like it's legal when you got a hamburger that's homemade and it's the proper size. And you bite into that thing and that juice runs down your elbows and comes off and makes a little puddle on that table. And when you bite into that warm bread and it gets past that crunchy part you barbecued and then past the lettuce and the onions and the sweet pickles and the mayonnaise and the ketchup and the mustard and it gets to that meat with that melted cheese on top of that and you get that sweet kind of taste that's there from the charbroil hamburger and your taste buds are standing up in the back singing glory to God. That's good. That's not in the Hebrew or the Greek, but that's good, folks. That's what you find out, just how good the will of God is. All of it, the bitter and the sweet and the high and the low and the dark and the light and all of it, the valleys and the mountains, it's good. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence in the will of God. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence in the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what they say and how many skeptics come against this. This book stands. It stood for centuries and it will continue to stand. Because the God who's behind His will is the God who's behind His Word. This book is not broken and this book is not bound. It's not bound by time and eras and it's not bound and said, well, that was for people. No. This is an eternal book. And it's not bound by ages and times. God knew we'd live in 2012. He knew it'd be the day of iPad and whatever my things are, and I don't care. We knew we'd live in that day. He knew we'd come up against these things, but he knew this book would be just as relevant today as it's ever been. It is not bound by time, and it's not broken by man and his science and his philosophy and his thinking and his talking. Man is not smarter than the God who wrote the Bible. I'm not going to cast away my confidence in what the Bible says. No, and not the parts I like, all of it, every bit of it. My grandmother used to work in a Catholic school cafeteria when we were children living with them, and every night she'd have leftover food in the cafeteria they let her bring home. Sometimes she'd bring home some really good stuff. And every now and then she'd bring home this chop suey stuff. Mostly celery and gooey stuff that looks like it came out of your nose on a bad head cold. It looked awful. And she'd say, "We're having chop suey tonight." And I'd think, "Oh, even so, come Lord Jesus." She put it on them crunchy noodles, and I don't care how much soy sauce you hit it with, it still looks at you. And I thought, "Oh, man." But every now and then she'd bring home a thing of butterscotch pudding. If you eat that chop suey, you can get the butterscotch pudding. Not eat that chop suey. Because in my house, it wasn't a stinking restaurant. They reminded me of that. This ain't a restaurant. You don't pick and choose. You eat what we put in front of you, or you go without. Should have turned them into CPS. They're such horrible people. I'd get through that chop suey knowing I had butterscotch pudding coming to get that out of my taste, out of my mouth. There's times when I read the Word of God and I think, "Lord, you want me to do that?" But it's all good. It's all God's Word. Not what man said that he thought God said. God's Word. I have confidence in the Bible. I've seen people fail at applying it, but I've never seen the Bible fail someone who applied it correctly. Never. Cast not away your confidence in God's way either. You know what I mean by the way God does things? Yesterday, Joel, our grandson, was at the house, and he and I are on the floor playing with some toys, and he's got a little garage kind of thing you open up, and there's a little track on it. You put a little car, and it goes through the little track. Well, he has to have the right size car to go through the track to come out down at the bottom. Well, he's got all these cars, different sizes, little bitty cars, other cars. He picks up an airplane. He goes, I go, "No, Joel, son, that's not going to fit." He goes, "Let me see." I said, "It won't fit." He goes, "Let me see." "Go ahead." He puts it on and he goes, "Oh," throws it off, puts another, gets a big old car. I go, "That won't fit either, son. That won't fit." He goes, "Let me see. Let me see." And while we're sitting there playing with the toys, I thought to myself, how many times have I seen God's people go, "Yeah, but let me see. But it won't work, but let me see. But I'll try, but no, let me see." See, God's way, the Bible says, His ways are not our ways. His thoughts high above our thoughts. God does see and understand things we just don't see and understand. And the way of God is right. No clearer example than salvation. Salvation is a free gift. It's all of the grace of God. You do not earn it. It was paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Fully paid for. Incomplete payment. He didn't make a down payment, friend. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. We trust Christ by simple faith, and He gives us amazing gift of eternal life and salvation. That's incredible. But that's God's way. That's why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." No one is going to heaven but through the way of Jesus and His bloody cross, and trusting only Christ is the salvation that they need. That's the only way God will save anybody. I don't care who they are, where they come from. It's God's way or no way. But did you know after you get saved, it's still the same? We kind of chafe at this thing about the way God wants to lead us and direct us. And we think, well, I didn't need that heartbreak. I didn't need the trouble. I need loss. I didn't need sorrow. I didn't need difficulty. But Job said, "He knoweth the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Yes, I question His will sometimes, and sometimes I question God's way. But I've found something out. If you give God time, God's way is always the right way. Oh, always the right way. Well, I think I saw somebody once who said they did it God's way and it didn't turn out right for them. I'm going to tell you something right now. I want you to listen to me very carefully. Either God's true or they are, and I'll take God. Yeah, but see, I saw the whole thing. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. There are things you did not see. God did. God did see. And God's way is always the right way. No, it leads us in places we would not care to go. It takes us in situations we would not care to be in sometimes. But then, of course, we understand those things are things that make us what we ought to be. Pressure turns coal into diamonds, you know. Trouble makes Christians live a shallow life on this earth. Not shallow living, just not too dug in here. Look at me. Jesus could come today, and it's okay with me. Today, this afternoon, right now, and for Mike Johnson, if I may be just selfish and say it, for me, I would just soon go to heaven today. That graveside service we did for this man that was 47 and was killed. There must have been 300 people at that graveside. I've never done a graveside service with that many folks. They came from everywhere. And we preached to them about the frailty and the uncertainty of life. This life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. Some of those people would not have listened to that message had that man not been pushed out into eternity. A man who got saved in this church about 16 years ago. It was time for him to go to heaven, and so God took him. Then a whole bunch of people came and listened to the gospel who wouldn't have had he not been taken. See, that's God's way. Do you understand? Has your confidence in God's way been cast? Have you cast it away? I just don't think God knows what he's doing. Think about the statement for a moment. Think about the concept that just comes from the question. Cast not away your confidence in God's work also. God works in his own time. God works in his own manner. God works in ways we do not see. Does he look like he's under conviction? Saul, the persecutor of the church, the Bible says, hailed men and women, drug them out of their house, brought them to trials, saw them stoned to death. Stood at the stoning of Stephen when the Bible says that Stephen, the first martyr of the church recorded in Scripture, when Stephen was stoned to death, they cast their cloaks at Stephen's feet while they stoned him to death. And the Sanhedrin, when someone stood up and defended their side of the story and was successful in seeing someone executed, they put the coats at the feet of the one who did the testifying. The man Saul was the lawyer for the Sanhedrin that saw Stephen stoned to death. Now he's got letters of death in his hands in Acts chapter 9 going to Damascus. Does he look like he's under conviction? He's got hate in his heart and death in his hand to kill Christians. And when he's on his way to Damascus riding his high horse of self-religion, the light of God shines on his soul and he gets down off his high horse. And when he hits the dirt, the Lord says, "It is Jesus whom thou persecutest." And then the Lord made this statement, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." It's an ox goad they use to poke an animal to get it to go one direction or the other. And Jesus said, "You know you're under conviction." Did he look like he was under conviction before that moment? You couldn't see what God was doing in his heart, but every Christian he drug out, had stoned to death, convicted him by their testimony. That man Stephen, whose face was like the face of an angel, that testimony of that godly man convicted him. That man was under conviction, and you couldn't see it, nor could I, nor could anybody else. But God was on the move, and he was working. Hey, look at me. God's work. Don't you lose confidence in what God does. Doesn't seem like that person cares about anything, Pastor Johnson. You don't know what's going on in their heart. You don't. You may not see anything. It may be no indication for you whatsoever in what you see. How's God working in this situation? I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, but I know this. God's on the move on behalf of his people. God blesses his word, and God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. I know this. There's a great work of God you and I don't see, but God does. And I've not lost any confidence in God's work. God's just amazing. We're coming back from the funeral. I was telling Brother Mike Martinez, our Spanish pastor this morning, he went with me. I was telling about a funeral. Several things have happened in funerals over the years. I've done dozens of funerals. One of them was this family asked if a lady friend of theirs could sing at the funeral. This is back when we allowed that to happen. And she came, was in our old church building. Brother Kellogg, remember this. He was running the PA system. She was supposed to meet me a half hour before service so I could find out what she was going to sing and what music she was going to play. She showed up 5 minutes late. To honor the family, because of the grief, I let her sing anyway. And the music was terrible. Some of you were there, you remember that? And she had a tape. She put it on. Remember that, Brother Killer? And that music started to play, and she started to sing. And I thought, oh, my soul, I've been fried again. and the music was just awful. And I sat there and I said, oh God, it's our PA system, but would you kill it? Just kill it, please. Stop it right now, please. And you were there. It just quit. Boom. Boom. Brother Kellogg's back to going from the PA booth. I said, I got up and I said, ma'am, I'm sorry, but the PA died. God bless you. Be seated. And he went on with the rest of the funeral service. God's on the move. He can kill a PA system if you need it. Yes, he can. Rain down bread in the wilderness. God can do that. God brings water from rocks. God does this. Not lost any confidence in God's ability to do the work. Have you? You got so closed-minded about things, you look, if you can't see it, you can't believe it, then I'm sorry. Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed, the Bible says. And if we do, if we cast not away therefore our confidence, you know what the Bible says? It hath great recompense of reward. Here's what that means. You keep your assurance where it's supposed to be, friend. God comes through. That's what that means. In His time, in His way, honoring what God says He will do, God comes through. And that's a fact. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.